They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
Unlike any other, is waiting for you at Hobby Lobby. Arts and crafts, fabric, scrapbooking, floral, home accents, and so much more. Come and explore Hobby Lobby and find more than you could have ever imagined.
Yes, I came in for a stamp book, and before I knew it, they were taking control of my vagina. Thanks, Hobby Lobby.
Welcome to the Bills Show, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason we are on today. What's the reason we're on today? We're on today because, evidently, my favorite word, corporations are not just now people. Corporations are not just now people. Yes, corporations who can be legally, can legitimately defined as an organization or an entity created to avoid fiscal responsibility. Now, not only are they people, not only do they have a freedom of speech, they've got freedom of religion, too. That means if your employer doesn't like your personal lifestyle after hours, they can say no sex for you. Hobby Lobby, 5-4, ladies and gentlemen, 5-4, the conservative minions. Yes, the ones that are bought and paid for. You know who I'm talking about. Roberts, Alito, Scalia. Yes, those scuzzbags have now decided that corporations are indeed people so much as they can inflict their religious point of view. Now, I'm sitting there wondering, and of course, this whole thing is a 5-4 decision coming down in favor of Hobby Lobby and Saratoga Wood, I think it is, who said that they don't want to have to pay for contraception because, you know, we don't like sex. We don't want to pay for that kind of contraception. And we did a show on it a few weeks ago, which basically came to the fact that they're against abortion right, but now it's extending to having a fertilized egg nestle in the womb. That's what they have a problem with now. So the 5-4 decision basically puts everybody on the back foot, and corporations basically now can dictate what laws they really kind of want to, you know, obey. I have a religious problem with ensuring your, I have a religious problem with ensuring your throat cancer. I don't like throats. Could be anything. Listen, let's go to the audio tape. This is a bit in which I happen to agree. This is an all-out assault on women's rights, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, it is a conspiracy. It is assault. You don't think it's an assault and a conspiracy. Here's an idea. Go try to find an abortion clinic in Texas. Like-minded individuals working together in a plot that has been planned to eliminate women's rights. Here it is. This is almost this is off MSNBC this week.
Irina, is this going to be seen as a complete and utter defeat for women's reproductive rights, or is that an overstatement?
I think you're going to see a lot of disappointment. I mean, just because it is only restricted to women's health access does not mean that it doesn't create a devastating precedent, which says that women's health care should be treated differently. Millions of women use contraception every day. They don't think that their IUD is abortion because it isn't. And so, you know, treating women's health care differently, I think, is going to resonate. You know, one of the things that the plaintiff said is that the government can just give people birth control. There's a program, Title X, that gives low-income people birth control. They said, why don't you just do it through that. Well, guess what? The Republican Party is trying to get rid of Title 10. I mean, you're basically seeing they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood, which provides low-cost contraception. So the context of this is an all-out assault on access to contraception and to other reproductive health care services.
Yes, defunding Planned Parenthood. That's part of it. Defunding Planned Parenthood, making it difficult for people to access abortions, particularly in red states. This has been a concerted effort over a long period of time. Now, recently, we just finished another ruling that said that if you're protesting at an abortion clinic, you don't have to observe any kind of restraint at all in going up to these people who are probably in a very terrible time, trying to exercise their constitutional rights to control their body. The Supreme Court not only said that it was okay for Hobby Lobby to say, I'm not going to give you any birth control, they also said that these anti-abortion activists, some of which who have tailed and stalked and killed abortion doctors in America, can go right up to you. There's no buffer zone around an abortion clinic anymore. They can do anything they want. Well, I mean, they can. But it is not the reason, we've talked about this on the last show, the reason those buffer zones were set up was because, you know, four people got shot in Massachusetts. So within 2 weeks, we've had an assault on women who want to exercise their right to control their bodies, as well as an attack on their ability to use birth control. And by the way, when you stop birth control, this makes no sense. Because when you stop birth control, you're going to have more abortions. That's why people have birth control, so they don't have an abort a pregnancy. It makes no sense. It's illogical. If you are against abortion, you should be in favor of birth control. This is the base problem, and this is all jingoistic nonsense. And this has never stopped. I'll tell you, the same people, I was around in the 70s, I remember the Equal Rights Amendment. These are the same guys. They never went away. The far right of the Republican Party and the Phyllis Schlafly's never went away. And now they got the gold key to the crapper. They have paralyzed American institutions like Congress. They've made it absolutely impossible for the federal government to work to ensure women's rights. And now the Supreme Court's bought off. And not only that, they're going to have a big double play on this one, because I'm sure all those people who are on the far right wing of the Republican Party are going to be very happy at this, because not only that, they're going to be able to kill some gays too while they're at it. Why do I say that? Bill, why do you say that? I say that because the Hobby Lobby decision might in fact make it harder for millions of LGBT Americans to access treatment for AIDS. I am not kidding you. The Supreme Court's decision, Burwell versus Hobby Lobby, this is off of the Huffington Post, sparked debate over the court's opinion grants business owners the right to discriminate against LGBT customers and employees on religious grounds. The decision is already being celebrated by a number of anti-LGBT activists who see it as a permission to deny HIV AIDS preventative medication to homosexual people. Which will probably mean that we'll have some more people dropping dead of AIDS. That'll make you happy, won't it? Of course, we're talking about I haven't told you yet. In 2014, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention endorsed a drug called Truvada. Now, what Truvada does is that it is preventative. So you take it to make sure that you don't get the AIDS virus. And it has been recommended by the federal government. It's recommended by the Center for Disease Control. It's been approved by the FDA. But now, people who are against LGBT community will now have a reason to say, no, we're not going to give you that, because God knows, if you take that, you might have sex. No, when we take that, we'll probably have unprotected sex. You are taking away a possible chance in which people are not infected with the AIDS virus. But they're Christians. That wouldn't occur to them. And they've been very, very busy with that, ladies and gentlemen, taking away AIDS medicine. But how about this? The day after the Supreme Court Hobby Lobby ruling, a group of religious leaders sent a letter to Barack Obama asking that he exempt them from a forthcoming executive order that would prohibit federal contractors from discriminating against LGBT people. Not only do we hope you drop dead, we hope you get fired or you don't get a job. This is a conspiracy, guys. This is the same people, the same guys, the same. They got women. They got those, those lefty women who love their abortion. They got, they've had it in for, the liberated woman for close to 50 years. And now they've managed to, screw them to the post. And not only that, for bonus points, pick and choose what legislation they're prepared to obey. These be dark times, friends and neighbors. Dark times. Here's, I want to leave you on a clip. Media Matters came out with 8 women explaining why the decision from Hobby Lobby is dead wrong. I think it's worth a play because this is big stuff. This is a series of things that have been meted down by the court that are direct assaults. We look at the civil rights decision, the dismantling of the Civil Rights Act, the granting of citizenship to corporations, now freedom of religion for corporations, and now an assault on women's rights. This is the beginning of what is really a coup in America. This is not, you are not looking at this. This is not all happening at once by accident. This is by design. Once Bush was able to stack the court, and once the Republicans unified have managed to literally make Washington not work, and also the Bush decisions that have put so much money into politics, this is a coordinated thing. Bill, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Here's John Oliver's take on what's happened from last week tonight. Here's the clip.
Tomorrow is scheduled to be the last day of the Supreme Court's current term. After that, the only two cases they'll be considering are pool noodle versus pool noodle and mouth versus margarita. But before they go, they've got two decisions left to deliver, including this one.
The biggest one we're waiting on at this point is Hobby Lobby. This is the challenge to the administration's HHS contraception mandate.
That's right. Hobby Lobby, America's one-stop source for glitter and googly eyes, could soon also be America's leading source of landmark binding legal precedents. Hobby Lobby's owners say that Obamacare's contraception mandate conflicts with their Christian faith, which means the whole case boils down to one fundamental question.
Can a business, a for-profit corporation, claim it has freedom of religion?
Do for-profit corporations have religious rights?
Do corporations have religious liberties, or do just individuals?
Are corporations a person able to exercise religious rights?
No, they're not. Okay, are we done? Are we done here? Are we done? I feel like we're apparently we're not done. Because thanks to the Citizens United ruling, in which corporations were deemed to have the same free speech rights as people, it is now a possibility they may get religious rights as well. And if they do, it's going to be pretty easy to guess which religions they'll choose. Einstein Brothers, obviously Jewish, although they do sell bacon and are open on Saturday, so let's say more culturally Jewish than observant. Meanwhile, Ben and Jerry's clearly Buddhist, although not too Buddhist, or they'd be selling you pints of cookies and nothingness. And Taco Bell, I'm presuming, is Hindu, because you know there's no fucking beef in those things. So But in the case of Hobby Lobby, the company's founders are the devoutly Christian Green family. And to be fair, their faith has led them to do some genuinely admirable things.
We believe that the principles that are taught scripturally are what we should operate our lives by, and so it naturally flows over into the business.
The company pays full-time entry-level employees 90% above minimum wage and devotes a very large portion of its profits to a broad array of charities.
Well, that's fantastic. Although I wouldn't get on too high a horse about the moral high ground of your company, given that a solid chunk of your customer base are Etsy sellers buying yarn to make handmade cock and ball cozies and teenagers purchasing top-quality glue for huffing. Oh, really, Bobby? You're into model aeroplanes, are you? Build one for me right now! You can't, can you, boy? You're killing your mother! You're killing her, Bobby! But here's the thing. While Hobby Lobby's owners are seemingly sincere in their beliefs, their sincerity isn't really the point, just as it isn't the point with the other company, which is also part of this decision.
Conestoga Wood, a company that makes parts for kitchen cabinets, is owned by a Pennsylvania-based Hahn family. They are Mennonites.
That's right. In addition to Hobby Lobby, the government is also being sued by Mennonites, or as I believe they're called, the Diet Amish. The Mennonites are their cabinet-making pacifists who argue that they don't want to pay for something that could take a human life. But under that logic, that is why I personally refuse to pay for Mennonite cabinets, because Jason Bourne could conceivably beat someone to death with one of those things. What these companies are arguing is that the sincerity of their beliefs should allow them a line item veto over federal law. But government is not an a la carte system, where you can pick and choose based on your beliefs. Taxation is more of an all-you-can-eat salad bar. You don't get to show up and go, look, I know it costs $10.99, but I'm only paying $7.50 because I have a moral objection to beets. Because of course you do, they're an abomination of a root vegetable. Their bland flavour and slimy texture is an affront unto the Lord. And if you can persuade enough people of that, then you can have a referendum to remove beets from the salad bar in the future. But until such time, you're paying for those fucking beets. Because everyone has their own version of beets.
I don't want my tax dollars paying for abortions.
I don't want my tax dollars going in support of this Israeli policy.
I don't want my tax dollars spent to support this mosque.
I don't want my tax money being used to buy illegal drugs.
A shrimp running on a treadmill. Not sure it's the best use of my tax dollars right now.
I'm sure Pam in Kansas doesn't want her tax dollar spent on some of the things that they're spending, especially Mexican prostitutes.
Whoa. Look, okay. Look, I can see your point on the prostitution, but those fat shrimp need help. You think they like being called Jumbo? They're crying inside. If you really want to be treated like a person, corporations, then guess what? Paying for things you don't like is what it feels like to be one. In fact, if corporations want to be people, they should have to take the rough with the smooth. For a start, companies should only get to have the average lifespan of a person. 79 years, 75 if they're based in Mississippi. Oh, and female companies, you only get to make 83 cents on the dollar. Sorry, Wendy, I guess it's just that Burger King must have worked harder. And that's just the big stuff. There's also the little annoyances of being human. So, Mr. Peanut, I hope you enjoy attending your friend's shitty improv shows. And Starbucks, get ready to have your name spelled Starburst on your coffee cup. And for GM, who've admitted some responsibility for the deaths of a minimum of 13 people, I've got some bad news for you. People who do that generally don't get off with a fucking fine.
John Oliver, last week tonight, and their reaction to the Hobby Lobby decision. Do you like going through the computer, do you kids? That's what we do, don't we? Kind of the people who do have a studio in their den. We spend a lot of time, you know, some people say too much time, reading. We read a lot. Something I stumbled on this week, which I thought would be an absolutely fantastic thing to share with you on this, ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is our 4th of July show. And the good people over at the Daily Kos put together an article called The Independence Day. It's their special 13 facts about America, that conservatives would like you to forget. And I read this and I thought to myself, and I knew most of it, but since a lot of you might be going or coming from, you know, holiday times, you know, 4th of July, summer vacation, you're getting together with the crazy Uncle Charlie, who believes that Obama is an alien from Mars, sent here by the spirit of Mao Zedong. It gives me great joy to give you a little ammo to go through those meals with. I need some appropriate music here. Thank you very much, Mr. Music. And from the Daily Kos, this is from Richard Reese. Facts about America. Conservatives would like you to forget. Facts about America that conservatives would like you to forget. And I'm not going to go through all of them. I just was fascinated by some of them. Here's one that absolutely I knew that drives me insane on a, you know, regular basis. This is said over and over again, and it's absolutely living proof that if you tell a lie over and over again, it becomes the truth, is the lie that the United States is somehow a Christian nation. Listen, the United States is not a Christian nation. And what Mr. Reese has done in one of these segments is basically to quote some of the founding fathers. Now, I had read this stuff before, but if you happen to be at the party and Uncle Nate sits there and goes, you know, when God made America, right after Jesus had Easter eggs. No. John Adams said, that's John Adams. Yeah, he had a miniseries. The government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion from the Treaty of Tripoli in 1797. How about Thomas Jefferson? He was kind of there, too. Thomas Jefferson said, Christianity neither is nor ever was a part of the common law. That is a letter to Dr. Thomas Cooper, February 10th, 1814, around lunchtime. James Madison said the civil government functions with the complete success by the total separation of church and state. He wrote that in 1819. My favorite is fucking George Washington. Not fucking George Washington. That sounds like a rather deviant superhero. But regular George Washington, not his crazy brother. George Washington said, if I could conceive that the general government might ever be so administered as to render the liberty of conscience insecure, I beg you will be persuaded that no one would be more zealous than myself to establish effectual barriers against the horrors of spiritual tyranny and every species of religious persecution. Goddamn. George Washington said that, baby. That's why we celebrate July 4th. That's why America's a great idea. Guys who said stuff like that. Not your dim-witted uncle down the table who gets everything that he or she believes from Fox News. Not that guy. There are a few other ones that I found absolutely fascinating. Did you know that one of the founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, hated Thanksgiving? He didn't know that. Well, it's actually true. Thomas Jefferson once called the National Day of Thanksgiving the most ridiculous idea he'd ever heard of. Despite being first proclaimed by George Washington in 1789, Jefferson believed a National Day of Thanksgiving was not consistent with the principle of the separation of church and state and refused to recognize the holiday in any of the 8 years in which he was president of the United States. Everyone must act according to the dictates of his own reason, Jefferson once wrote, And mine tells me that civil powers alone have been given to the President of the United States and no authority to direct the religious exercises of his constituents. For the record, Presidents Andrew Jackson and Zachary Taylor refused to issue Thanksgiving Day proclamations during their administrations as well. Can you imagine what Fox News Channel would have made of these administrations and their war on Thanksgiving? Well said, Mr. Reese. Well said. Now, there's quite a few things. The Pledge of Allegiance was written. Wait for it. This I love. The Pledge of Allegiance was written by a socialist. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The pledge was evidently written. It was written in 1892 for public school celebrations for the 400th anniversary of Columbus's arrival in America. No such celebrations were held amongst Indians. Its author was Francis Bellamy, a Baptist minister, a Christian socialist, and cousin of the socialist utopian novelist Edward Bellamy. Christian socialism maintains, among other ideas, that capitalism is idolatrous and rooted in greed and the underlying cause of much of the world's social inequity. My Lord, we're going to have Bill O'Reilly escort those people out of the country. Oh, wait. Did you know? And this is, of course, the thing of did you know? Roe versus Wade was a bipartisan decision made by a predominantly Republican-appointed Supreme Court. That's right. The Roe versus Wade abortion decision came about in a predominantly Republican-appointed Supreme Court. That's back when Republicans were Republicans. And let's not forget the all-holy of holies, the man who died for our sins, Ronald Reagan, St. Ron, as we love to call him. Did you know, by the way, and this make sure that your crazy uncle at the end of the table gets the potato salad before you say this. Just bring it up in conversation. Just drop it like a bomb and say, hey, did you know that Ronald Reagan once signed a bill legalizing abortion? You're looking for this. What? Reagan, actually, in the spring of 1987, 4 months into his first term as governor of California, signed a bill that, among other provisions, legalized abortion for the vaguely well-defined well-being of the mother. Now, of course, Republicans don't worry about that. Yes, get thee to an alleyway. Fantastic. Also, another great little fact about St. Ronald. Did you know that St. Ronald, and when he gets his, your uncle at the end of the table, he's now almost choked on the potato salad. Now, when he goes to get the water to wash it down, did you know he also raised federal taxes 11 times? That's right, he did. Sure, the top rate of tax was reduced from 70% in 1980 all the way down to 28% in 1988. But while Republicans typically point to Reagan's tax cutting as the right approach to improving the economy, Reagan himself realized the resulting national debt from his revenue slashing was untenable, so he quietly raised other taxes on income, primarily Social Security and payroll taxes, and he raised them 11 times. You know who else was this? And you know what is absolutely crazy about your uncle, by the way, is now he's spat up the water at the end of the table. And if he's a really old guy, tell him this, because then you'll have to, then he'll shut up for the rest of the day. That Barry Goldwater, if he is of an age, he will remember the fact that Barry Goldwater in 1964 was viewed as a nutcase, a complete and utter clown, completely crushed in the election against LBJ. He was viewed as far too right. Listen to this. Barry Goldwater, Mr. Conservative, that's what his nickname was. He was pro-choice. He supported gay rights. He deeply despised the religious right. And gasp, he liked Hillary Clinton. I got to tell you, this is fantastic. I never thought that I'd be quoting Goldwater. But this is an amazing comment by Barry Goldwater, who said this about the Christian right. He said, politics and governing demand compromise, but these Christians, and I swear to God, I could, I every time I hear this, I hear Wilford Brimley sing it. Politics and governing demand compromise, but these Christians believe they are acting in the name of God. They can't and won't compromise. I know, I've tried to deal with them. Just who the hell do they think they are? And from where do they presume to claim their right to dictate their moral beliefs to me? And I am even more angry at a legislator who has to endure the threats of every religious group who thinks it's got some God-granted right to control my vote on every roll call in the Senate. Now, I'm warning them today. I will fight them every step of the way if they try to dictate their moral convictions to all Americans in the name of conservatism. Barry Goldwater, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, this is the first on the Bill Show. I'm going to get the kids in. Kids, that was Uncle Barry Goldwater. Isn't he cool? Hey, give him a cheer, kids. Yay! That's right, a cheer for Barry Goldwater. We'll be back after this message.
At some point, GM just has to tell us which cars aren't recalled. And if you own a GM car, don't wait for the next recall. Just take it to the dealer now, leave it, and do that action movie thing where you walk away as it explodes. Neural, now that 50 Shades of Grey has been replaced by the trilogy, He Watches Me, He Touches Me, and He Claims Me. The author must now write the sequels. He borrows money from me. He impregnates me, and he leaves me. It's terrible, but... New rule, authorities have to explain why this 63-year-old Michigan man arrested on child porn charges hadn't already been arrested on child porn. And L.A. hipsters have to explain why, if they're so hip, this 63-year-old pervert is dressed exactly like you. Neural, the woman who posted this picture of a fishing trophy on Reddit, claiming it looks like a penis, is... Well, she's right. She's right. That looks like a dick. I'm sorry. But the important thing to remember is whether a man is showing you his penis or the fish he just caught, your job is the same, to pretend you can't believe how big it is. New rule, unless you're a soldier or you live in frontier America in 1873, you have to explain why you'd want to eat dehydrated meat. Meat squatch. The radical new meat snack that sounds like some sort of disgusting sex act and tastes like it too. Come on, having a taste for gross old dried meat doesn't make you manly. It makes you this chick. And finally, new rule, don't make me go back to my old title. Anybody here remember the 90s? The 90s, people? Okay. It was a crazy time, and I had a show called Politically Incorrect. Because, thank you. Because back then, political correctness had gotten so out of hand. I mean, blacks became African Americans, Mexicans became Latinos, and Indians became casino owners. Broken homes became dysfunctional families. Bums became the homeless. Crazy people became Fox News reporters. Oh, and it was a tough time for comics. One young comedian even got into big trouble for saying the word chink.
That was me. There was a context, needless to say.
Now, I bring all this up in 2014 because, unfortunately, political correctness is making a comeback, and now with the internet, it's easier than ever. In the 90s, you had to at least get off your ass to be in a fake group with hurt feelings. You needed signs. You needed petitions. You had to feed Al Sharpton. Back then, getting worked up over nothing was a lot of work. But now it seems like all the internet exists to do is point at the latest person who said the wrong thing so the rest of us can feel morally superior. And that's not what the internet is for. That's what college is for. Now, social media is all about gotcha. A homophobic businessman or a sexist cartoonist or a college president who fat-shamed his dog by naming it Waddles. Last week, when the first gay football player got chosen in the NFL draft, a player named Don Jones tweeted, OMG, horrible, as is his right under the asshole clause of the Constitution. But the Dolphins fined him and threw him off the team until he underwent sensitivity training, which is where they calmly sit you down and then pin your eyes open like in A Clockwork Orange and make you watch the Bravo Network for 24 hours straight. I mean, 24 hours gay. I mean, when you hear the Duck Dynasty guy going off on homosexuality like he did again this week, why even listen? What do you think he was gonna say? The Tonys are nothing without Neil Patrick Harris. Folks, we had a televised, celebrated, interracial gay kiss during the NFL draft. The culture war is over and we won. I predict in 5 years, the NFL will be completely gay. Which is why it was so unnecessary for so many to type, what a jerk Don Jones was. Take that, freedom riders and abolitionists. I'm the real hero. I'm hitting send. Oh, give this kid a minute to get enlightened. He's 24. Think how stupid you were when you were 24. Okay, now add football. A few weeks ago, the CEO of Mozilla was forced to resign because it was revealed that in 2008, he supported Prop 8, California's ban on gay marriage. A bad law, yes, but 52% of Californians voted for it. Did they all have to resign? Obama was against gay marriage in 2008. Does he have to resign? Hillary came around just last year. Can she be president? You can't purge everybody who doesn't evolve exactly on the timetable you did. It reminds me of the immigrant who's been in America for all of a year and looks at someone who came over last week like, boat people, am I right? Or take the case of the Benham brothers. They had a home rehab show scheduled on HDTV, but it got canned after websites dug up quotes of them saying, get this, that gays are possessed by demons. Yes, these two nitwits actually told Glenn Beck that Satan uses gay people to promote a demonic agenda to silence the message of Jesus. I disagree with that. I do. That opinion is different from mine on virtually every assertion in that sentence. But if you're a Christian, you may condemn their homophobia, but they got it out of the same dumb book which you also revere. So there's a little bit of a mixed message going on. So maybe it would have worked better to not hound them from their home improvement show and then just let them try to find an interior decorator who will work with them.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. They don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it if 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority 49?
the Best of the Left podcast, the best of the truly liberal media, edited, organized, and mixed, only at bestoftheleft.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again where we talk about the news and commentary that I listen to because I hate my own head. Of course, I'm talking about, yes, our tinfoil hat segment tonight. And our tinfoil hat segment tonight is given to a golden oldie, ladies and gentlemen. You know me, love him. You can't live without him. Of course, I'm talking about Bill O the Clown, Mr. Bill O'Reilly, the Ted Baxter for his time. Came out with a new one with Brit Hume on Fox News just 2 weeks ago. And he was asked about the immigration problem that you folks are having down in Texas right now, where you have literally kids that start at 5 years old, and they go up to about 10 or 11, 12, sometimes 16, 17-year-old kids, teenagers, who have been sent to go across the border into America without their parents. These are children arriving at the border, malnourished, no water, who are walking across a desert. And Billo has the perfect humanitarian and fantastically Christian answer on what he'd do if he was in charge. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Bill O'Reilly.
You could militarize that border, and you could secure that border.
Suppose you militarize the border, and a bunch of kids are coming across. What are you going to do?
Wouldn't get in, because there would be a wall and a barrier there, and they wouldn't get in.
In other words, what you would do is you'd have a giant wall across our entire southern border to stop the children from coming.
To stop everybody from coming.
I understand that.
I would.
So that's the O'Reilly plan.
Yeah, that's the O'Reilly plan. I'm going to get a big wall, and I'm going to sit on top of it. I got a shotgun and a couple of things, my right to bear arms. I got a shitload of little shotguns, pellet guns, stuff like that. I see any of those teenagers, little boys and girls starving or, searching for water. I reckon because they're really exhausted, they run really slow. Yeah, I reckon I'll be able to pick them off, no problem.
What kind of dick? Really, seriously, I know that in the world today, and I'm not being exclusive about this. I live in Australia right now. We're doing the same thing to refugees here. People that are coming from absolute shitholes. And you can't let them all in. But you know what? What's this, threatening kids with guns deal? And you know what? A lot of Americans are standing up against that. A lot of Americans. There are so many fantastic organizations down there that are actually, you get the news about only the right-wingers that are standing there blocking buses with kids. You don't hear about the Christian organizations down there who are actually working to make sure that these kids are treated as we should treat children. And I think it's shameful that Obama didn't at least stop by and visit it. It's a complex problem, but Bill O'Reilly is sitting there thinking that, yeah, we'll just threaten them. Together, can we all just think to ourselves, what an asshole. What a total, morally kind of bankrupt dick would sit there and say, you greet children at your border by threatening them. I'm sorry, man. I don't know where you're from. This has been The Bill Show. I hope you've enjoyed it. You can reach us on The Bill Show on XBR at gmail.com. Please send forth emails and let us know what you're feeling out there. Also, you can listen to us on Stitcher Radio as well as iTunes. And want to thank the people that have written in, and we're going to be doing the mailbag again once Randy gets back, which will be next week, and a few more surprises. So until next time, this is one Bill alone saying bye-bye. Take care. Happy birthday, America.
dolphins can swim. Though nothing, nothing will keep us together.